There was this pastor, and he was playing hooky, just called in sick. Called up his assistant pastor and said, "I'm not feeling very well. I need you to do this sermon today." This is a Sunday, of course. And what's the pastor do? He goes golfing. And so the devil talks to God, ha, mocking him, going, "Look at that. One of your guys not going to church. He's going out and he's going golfing. What are you going to do about it?" And God goes, "You watch. I'll take care of this." So on the very first hole, God goes, does a little, just blows on a little bit, hole in one. And the devil looks at God, "What are you talking about? I thought you were going to take care of this." He's all, "Who's he going to tell?" Dear God, thank you for allowing us to come here today. I'm glad that we have faithful members of the church that show up to listen to other men preach besides the pastor. Please put some words in my mouth. My outline is short. Just use me as a puppet, in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to title this one, God's Pleasure. Before I start the points in the message, it's a really good thing to point out that every single one of us has free will. If God wanted, he could have made a bunch of robots just to do his will without a mind of their own, but I don't think a robot could actually love God. That's why he made us how we are. I'm going to start with Revelation chapter 4. And this is verse 11. And as you're well aware of, I'm all Bible. I'm almost more of a Bible study than a message. That way I don't get in trouble. So, 11, here we go. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So that begs the question, why did the world begin? Why was man put on the earth? The simple answer is for God's pleasure. Again, he created us to love him. He didn't want a bunch of robots. He brought us into existence for his pleasure. Now, let's go all the way back to the beginning, to Genesis. Now, this one, in a way, I kind of stole it from Brother Hooker. But what was one of the very first things that God had us do? And if we go to Genesis 2:8, exactly. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Jump over to 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So I looked up the word dress, and it literally means work. And I looked up keep, and it means to guard. So every day that one of us gets up and we go to work, we go to work for our family, we are pleasing God. When we go to work for God himself, we are pleasing God. Like it says, if you don't work, you don't eat. God himself worked for 6 days to create the world. And then, on the seventh day, he looked back, he rested. And he even said, he looked back on his work and it is very good. God himself works. He works all the time. Of course, he made us in his image. He wants us to work. He also wants us to take that one day off as well. Remember that, everybody. Yeah, I'll go with that. All right, so the next one. Go to Ephesians. And chapter 1. I'm going to start at 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. God takes pleasure in everybody that is saved. The very first thing that you can do to please God is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm fairly certain everyone in here has already taken that step. Angels rejoice in heaven every time that one lost is found. I mean, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't have faith if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's just, I mean, literally, the very first thing that anybody can do to please God is to have faith in him and trust Jesus as a Savior. You know, I'm going to go to this one first because I like this one. Psalms. I know I jump around a lot. Go to 149. I'll just start right at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands. Go back to just to 147. Again, start at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in the heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of the man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. So the first thing, what's one of the best ways to worship God? That's what I was going to sing. Singing to God is one of the best ways to worship him. Who likes to sing in the shower? Just a couple of us? All right, I guess we're the weird ones. I sing at least once a day in the shower a song to God. Roommate over there. At least once a day. Generally more throughout the day, I'll be singing to God. One of the first things that we do when we come into church, we start with singing. We start worshiping God before we even get into the announcements. God loves to hear us sing to him. Loves it. And then the second part there was, he likes us. He wants us to fear him. And that is something that is currently lacking in today's Christianity. I'm guilty of it myself. But to have hope in mercies. It's amazing when you wake up, and Pastor has said this multiple times, that how often do you praise God for the fact that you can see and hear and that we have rain that day, we have oxygen to breathe? I mean, it is by his mercies alone that we have access to life. We should fear the fact that he has the ability to end it any time he wanted to. But it's by his mercies that we're able to continue day by day. And he wants us to use this time to do work for him. Brings me right back to my first point. Do work for God. It pleases him. This one, let's go to 1 Chronicles. Go to chapter 29 and verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Now, in this context, it's about giving to the Lord. Finish up with 2 Corinthians, same thing, go to chapter 9, jumping all around here. And go to verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye also, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, and having given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving for God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles the experiments of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God loves a cheerful giver. It gives him pleasure to find the righteousness in a giver. This doesn't actually just have to be money as well. I don't know if it was today or if it was the other day, a pastor asked for volunteers. It was today. And for workers. That is a way that you can give back to God. Help the church. Help the body. Participate. Do whatever you can. I mean, even like... Mark has the sweeping ministry. Dave puts the chairs away all the time. He's an usher. I mean, there are so many things around this church that we can do. All of us can do it, from the littlest guy to the oldest guy in the church. I know. So again, I mean, tithing is almost, for lack of a better word, a command. That's not really a gift. He still doesn't want you to tithe grudgingly, but, I mean, if there's a little extra that you can give, do it. If there's anything extra that you can do, do it. Stay around a little bit longer, help Miss Jennifer. And you're welcome. yeah, exactly. So, how much time do I got left? Time? Anybody? Fine? So, okay, I got a couple more. So this one's going to go off a little bit of what Pastor was talking about earlier about obedience. Obviously, again, you know, without faith it is impossible to please him. One of the requirements of faith is obeying God. And it can be from the littlest thing. You know what? one thing is reading your Bible daily. God will take pleasure every time that you open up his word and listen to him. He wants to talk to you, but he's not going to be able to talk to you unless you open up his word and listen. He wants you to pray every day. That's your way of talking to him. He takes pleasure in every little thing that we want to bring to him. From what should I do this morning, guide me at work, to the biggest things, you know, help my daughter's head get fixed. Give me, my arm doesn't work anymore. God, please fix my nerves. And the more people that pray to him, the better chance that he's going to listen. Instead of having a little flashlight looking down, what's this? 100 people are praying for the same things, and all of a sudden this big spotlight comes down, and he's going to pay more attention. Witnessing. That's a commandment. And again, every time a soul is saved, the angels rejoice in heaven. He takes pleasure takes pleasure in the swiftness of the feet. Yeah, you know what I mean. Here's another one that everybody can do. Attend church every time you can. You get rewards in heaven just for showing up at church. And I'm going to bring myself to the final point, and this one is sad. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Brian's preached a whole message on this before. If you don't mind, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 12 verses. Who hath believed our report? And whom is the arm of the Lord? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it, and we hid as it were our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him in grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It's, in my logical mind, it may not be biblical, this is just my own thought here, that God's greatest pleasure was the death of his own son. You go back to my first point where we were created for his pleasure. How can God continue to have pleasure in us if we were separated from him? And of course, the only way to reconcile us back to God was through the death of Jesus Christ. And so again, my logical mind says that God's greatest pleasure was I mean, I hate to say it, killing his own son for us. I mean, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It's harsh, necessary, and the more I think about it, and I go back and I look at some of the other things that I wrote here, like, you know, singing to the Lord, working for the Lord, reading your Bible, praying, how hard is that to do compared to what God did to his own son for us? Father, thank you for allowing me to speak your word today. I hope that somebody got a little bit of the message, and I hope we all do our best to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.